Today's daf is Erev in Daf Pei Gimel, and we are at the Mishnah, 18 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema. For Shlomo ben Sarah Liza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Chana Rivka bas Faila, Rafal Mordechai ben Gittel, and Chaim Naftali Menachem ben Yendela. Today's daf is also being learned as a Schos for Hatzlacha Becholo in Yonim, for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miro. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibadol Lechaim Toivim, Ramoisha Chaim. Zok the Mishnah. Kami hu shiuroi. So the Mishnah is discussing a Ruvei Tchumin. Says the Mishnah, if somebody wants to make an Erev Tchumin, and he wants to make the Erev using food, you don't have to use food. There are other ways for you to extend your Tchum. But if you chose to use food, says the Mishnah, how much food? Meaning the previous Mishnah had said, Bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatvim chutz min ha'mayim u'min ha'melach. So we know what type of foods work. You can use any food, with the exception of water and salt. The question now is, kama hu shayura? Not which foods, but how much food? Says the Mishnah, mazon shtei sudos l'chol echad ve'echad. Every individual that's going to benefit from this Erev Tchumen would have to contribute his own mazon shtei sudos. Says the Mishnah, mazonoi l'chol v'loi l'shavis divir ameh. The mazon shtei sudos is determined based on shtei sudos that a person would eat during the week, as opposed to shtei sudos that a person would eat on Shabbos. Yudavir Yehuda says just the opposite. L'Shabbos v'loi l'chol, the mazon shtei sudos is determined based on what would be considered mazon shtei sudos on Shabbos, not based on what would be considered mazon shtei sudos during the week. V'zeh v'zeh, mischavna l'hakol. The Mishnah says that both Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda agree that the shear should be l'kula. Halacha kedivrei amekel be'erev, which we know is true for Ruvi Chatzeris, it's also true for Ruvi Tchumin, Shetufa Mevoyes. So there's no question that whichever is the lesser of the two shiurim, whether it's the food that you eat during the week or the food that you eat on Shabbos, that's going to determine the definition of Mazon Shtei Sudos. What was the machloikis Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda? Ramei held that a person eats more on Shabbos, less during the week. Thus, what's the kula digashir of Mazon Shtei Sudos? It's Shtei Sudos of Chol. Rabbi Yehuda held fakir that people eat more on Shabbos than they eat during the week. And as a result, people eat more during the week than they do on Shabbos. And as a result, the Mazon Shtei Sudos is going to be L'Shabbos because that's the lesser of the two shiurim. Rabbi Yechim, says that in the event that a person wants to use bread for his Mazon Shtei Sudos, and again, just to be clear, you don't have to use bread for your Mazon Shtei Sudos. But if you want to use bread for your Mazon Shtei Sudos, how much bread? Meaning, what would be Mazon Shtei Sudos of bread? Mikikor bepunyin. The short answer is, it's a loaf of bread. However, what type of loaf? A loaf of bread that would cost one pundyoin when it's dalit soyim besela. When, if you wanted to buy the wheat that you're going to use for the bread, the value of 4 soyin of bread would be a sella. The Gemara is going to explain. Reb Shimon had a different share. Shtei yodos lekikor, it's 2/3 of a loaf of bread. Mishalosh lekab, when 3 loaves equal a kab, meaning when a loaf of bread is equal to 1/3 of a kav, 2/3 of that loaf would equal Mazon Shtei Sudos. Again, the Gemara is very much going to explain the Shita of Rav Shimon as well. Chetzio, half of that shear, lebeis haminuga, is the shear of beis haminuga. So what exactly is beis haminuga? The halacha is that just like a person could become a metzaira, a house can become a metzaira as well. If somebody enters a house that has a nega, the halacha is he becomes tummy. When does he become tummy? Immediately. What about the clothing that he's wearing? Do the clothing become tame if a person enters a Beis HaMenuga? The answer is yeah. How long would the person have to be in the house in order for the clothing to be tame? It's the amount of time that it would take to eat a half a loaf of bread. So we're discussing loaves of bread. Again, everything will be explained in much greater detail in the Gemara. A half a loaf of bread is the shear as it relates to a Beis HaMenuga. What does a half a loaf of bread have to do with a Beis HaMenuga? The amount of time. It's a shear in zman. The amount of time that it would take to eat a half a loaf of bread, if you're in a Beis HaMenuga that long, then not only are you tummy, you became tummy right away, but then your clothing is going to be tummy as well. Additionally, the chetzi chetzia, a half of a half of a loaf of bread, also known as a quarter of a loaf of bread, lifslay l'eshagvia. The halacha is a person that comes in contact with food that's tame does not become tame. Food can't be metama a person. Fact. Stating that, the Chachamim made a takana that if somebody eats food that's tame, he does become tame. So how much food that's tummy would you have to eat in order to be tummy? So it's not a loaf. It's not a half a loaf, but rather it's a half of a half of a loaf, a quarter of a loaf. Again, everything will be explained in the Gemara. So the Gemara, the Kamam Azoin Shtei Sudois. So we had a machloikis between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda right in the beginning of the Mishnah with regards to the shear of Erev Tchum. Said the Mishnah, what's the shear? It's Mazon Shtei Sudas. Machlokes Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, is it the weekday Shtei Sudas or is it a Shabbos Shtei Sudas? Says the Gemara, how much is Mazon Shtei Sudas? Now the truth is, the Gemara, the Mishnah itself got involved a little bit in how much is Mazon Shtei Sudas. The Mishnah mentioned the opinion of Rabbi Yechim and Breiko. The Mishnah mentioned the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Again, specifically as it relates to if you decided to use bread as your Mazon Shtei Sudas, which you don't have to do. Bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatvin chutz v'namayim min ha'melach. But either way, the Gemara is asking, not according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, not according to Rabbi Shimon, but rather, like Rashi says, L'Rameir u'L'Rabbi Yehuda kamboi. Because Rameir Rabbi Yehuda didn't give a shear. Rameir Rabbi Yehuda just said, either it's the weekday meal or it's the Shabbos meal. It's true Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika gave a shear. It's true Rabbi Shimon gave a shear. It's not the Gemara's question. The Gemara's not asking according to Rabbi Shimon. Read the Mishnah. The Gemara is not asking according to Rabbi Yechim and Breika. Read the Mishnah. We're assuming Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda have a different shear, and the Gemara wants to know what is that shear. Rabbi Yehuda Marav. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Tarti Rifta Ikari Yaisa. It's two loaves of bread that we eaten by farmers. Rabbi Yehuda Marav said, Tarti Rifta Nahar Par Paisa. It's two loaves of bread that were eaten in this place, Nahar Par Paisa. Omale Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Rabbi. So Rabbi Yosef asked Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, the following question. So Rabba and Rav Yosef, of course, were Chaverim and Bali Plukta and Shah. So this was a question that Rav Yosef asked Rabba's son. It's not Rabba, it's Rabba. So he said, Avuch Keman Svirle. Who did your father hold like? Did he hold Mazin Shtei Sudas like Rav Meir? Or did he hold Mazin Shtei Sudas like Rav Yehuda? So he told him back, Rav Meir Svirle. Oh, my father, Rabbi, he held like Rav Meir. Amalei. So he told him back, no, I'm Rav Meir Svirle. Rav Yosef, it's funny, I agree. Even though Rabbi and Rav Yosef often argue, but this is Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the Amri Travayu. He said, no, I also agree. I hold Rav Meir's right. Meaning, I hold that Mazin Shtei Sudas is a weekday meal because the weekday meal is a lesser meal than is the Shabbos meal, and as a result, you always go l'kula. So l'kula, the Mazin Shtei Sudas is going to be based on a Vachin Diga Suda, not a Shabbos Diga Suda. And then he said, I'll prove it. Because if you're going to go like Rabbi Yehuda assumed that people eat more during the week than they do on Shabbos. Kasha, I have a problem. You know what my kasha is? Not a kasha from a Mishnah, not a kasha from a Braisa, but kasha, hod amri inchi. It doesn't stem with a saying. Because people say, Rav chalupsim eshchiach, that when a person eats good food, there's always room for good food. Right? Sometimes you get full. But the psima, for geshmaka food, Ravcha, there's always room for that. Now, when do people eat better food? Qualitatively, for sure, on Shabbos than during the week. So it's mistaken that if people eat better food on Shabbos, there's more room for the food on Shabbos. And as a result, the bigger meal will be the Shabbos meal, the smaller will be the weekday meal, which is Shittas Rav Meir. It's not Shittas Rav Yehuda. It's interesting that the Gemara is asking a kasha, or Rav Yosef is proving a halacha from not a halacha so much, but hod da amri inchi, from a saying. The truth is, what is the origin of sayings, right? The Gemara brings a lot of different sayings. Is there significance to these sayings? They come from the Torah, or this is just punked, you know, what people used to do? So there's an interesting Ben Yehoyada in the beginning of Masechtas Bava Kamma, but the Inkam Mekoymei Laharech. What is Mekoymei Laharech is a little bit of an introduction into the very intense daf that we're about to learn. And that is, so in the Mishnah, we are discussing the halacha of the shear of Mazon Shtei Sudas as it relates to Eruv Tchum. And again, just to chazer, Bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatvin chutz min ha'mayim u'min ha'melech. And even though there was a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua earlier in the week, as it relates to Eruv Chatzeres, where Rabbi Eliezer said, Bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatvin chutz min ha'mayim u'min ha'melech, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you have to use bread, not just bread, you have to use whole loaves of bread. That was only regarding Eruv Chatzeres. As it relates to Eruv Tchumin, as it relates to Shtuf and Voice, there's no machlokes. Everybody holds Bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatvin chutz min ha'mayim u'min ha'melech. And again, this Mishnah is talking about Eruv Tchumin. So if we're talking about Eruv Tchumin, everyone agrees that you don't have to use bread. Stating that in the event that you decided to use bread, so what amount of bread would constitute Mazon Shtei Sudas. And there's a machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika and Rabbi Shimon. Let's read the words again. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika said, it's a kikar, it's a loaf of bread. But a loaf could be a bigger loaf, a smaller loaf. It could be a cheaper loaf, it could be a more expensive loaf. So he had to qualify it a little bit better. He said, it's a loaf of bread that cost a pundioin, that you would have to pay a punyoin, that's a type of coin, it's like saying it cost a quarter. So it would cost a punyoin, midalit san besela. When for one seller, you'd be able to buy four sa of wheat. So if the value of wheat is such that you can get four sa of wheat for a seller, you make a challah with that wheat, the loaf that you can now get for a punyoin, that is your mazon shtei sudas. Which means, by the way, that half of that loaf would be the mazon of suda achas. That's mazon shtei sudas. Half of that loaf would be mazon suda achas. Shimon argues, and Reb Shimon had a different shir. Reb Shimon said that the shir is shtei yodos lekikar, two-thirds of a loaf, meaning not a loaf, but rather it's two-thirds of a loaf, mishalosh lekav, when there are three loaves into the kav. So if a loaf equals one-third of a kav, two-thirds of one-third of a kav, that's what your shir is going to be. So mazin shtei sudos are two-thirds of one-third of a kav. Mazin sudachas then is half of that, which means it's one-third of one-third of a kav. The Gemara now is going to compare and contrast these two opinions, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika and Rabbi Shimon, which is the biggest share, which is the smallest share. And the truth is, when you learn the Mishnah, it's really hard to understand. First of all, the Pirush HaMilas is a little bit hard. But once you get past that, the Tushum are not really talking to each other. Rabbi Shimon said that it's two-thirds of a kikar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika said it's a kikar. But there could be so many different permutations as far as what a kikar is. So they had to be a little bit more specific. So at the end of the day, in order to appreciate the relationship between the two shiurim, which is the biggest share, which is the smallest share, how much is the biggest share bigger than the biggest share, how much is the smallest share smaller than the smallest share, we need a common denominator, right? So if you want to compare two numbers that are not really the same, so you create a common denominator, you back into a percentage, and then you'll be able to appreciate a little bit about what's going on. So the common denominator that the Gemara is going to use so that we can understand the relationship between these two shiurim is the kav. Kav was once upon a time a standard metric that was used to measure solids, and we're going to use the kav now so that we can understand the two shiurim as they relate to each other. So like this, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika and Rabbi Shimon could be talking to each other in a way that we could have a glimpse, a little bit of an understanding of what exactly is happening. So let's go backwards. Rabbi Shimon's sheet is pretty straightforward. If you want to look at Rabbi Shimon's muzzling shtei sudas in terms of kavin, he spoke in terms of kavin. Rabbi Shimon said that it's two-thirds of a loaf of bread when three loaves of bread equal a kav. If three loaves of bread equal a kav, that means one loaf equals one-third of a kav. Mazon shtei sudos is two-thirds of that. So mazon shtei sudos are two-thirds of one-third of a kav. Or mazon suda achas, which is half of that, is one-third of one-third of a kav. One-third of one-third is one-ninth, which means mazon shtei sudos is double that. It's 2/9. So according to Reb Shimon, the shear of mazon shtei sudos is 2/9 of a kav. The shear of suda achas is 1/9 of a kav. It's very simple. How about according to Reb Yochanan ben Breika? Reb Yochanan ben Breika said it's a whole loaf, a loaf that cost a pundyoin when four sa'im cost a seller. So we have to know two things. Number one, a pundyoin is equal to 1/48 of a seller. There's 48 pundyoinim into the sela. Additionally, there are 6 kavin into the sa. So if one sela can get you 4 sa in, that means one sela can get you 4 times 6 kavin, which is 24 kavin. A pundyoin is 1/48 of a sela. If it's 1/48 of a sela, that means it's 1/48 of 4 sa, which means it's 1/48 of 24 kavin. What's 1/48 of 24? It's a half. So essentially what Reb Shimon said, if you want to, again, create a common denominator so we can compare and contrast the two shiurim, really what Reb Shimon is, what Reb Yechim and Breik is saying is, as the shiur of mazon shtei sudos is a loaf of bread, that's a half a kav. That's what he's saying. And if that's the case, what's the mazon of a suda achas? It's a quarter of a kav. So the two shiurim are, according to Reb Shimon, mazon shtei sudos are 2/9. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, mazon shtei sudos is a half. As it relates to suda achas, because the Gemara is going to talk more in terms of suda achas than in terms of shtei sudos. According to Reb Shimon, it's 1/9 of a kav. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, it's 1/4 of a kav. Zok the Gemara, with that hakdama,
opening line. Tana, we learned in a Braisa. Who cried in Devreim Liyash Shafet. So we have two Shurim in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eichem Breiker, Rabbi Shimon. At first glance, it's hard to know what these two Shurim even are. After further review, this is 2/9, and this is 1/2. This is 1/9 as far as Suda Achas goes. This is 1/4. Says the Gemara, Braisa, the two Shurim are very, very similar to each other. Freak the Gemara, they're similar? No, they're not. Midami. The Rabbi Yoichanan, meaning Rabbi Eichem and Breiker, Arba Sudas Alakaba. Each Suda is a quarter of a gap, which means there's four Sudas into the cab. The Rabbi Shimon Teishan Sudas Alakaba. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's 1/9. It's very, very two completely different numbers. Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda had a very important teretz, which is going to flip everything, and that is say mehem shlish lechenveni. You have to realize, Rav Yochanan, when he gave his shir, so what did he say? He said that it's a kikar, that it is, that if you were to buy from a chenveni, meaning you're going to retail, go to a grocery store and buy a loaf of bread, you're going to pay a punyan. However, you have to know what kind of wheat was used. Oh, it's the kind of wheat where four saw equals a seller. Now, the four saw that equals a seller, when you're talking about wheat, you're buying the commodity, the wheat. The grocer, let's assume, or the baker would buy the wheat, he would go make the bread, and then he would sell it. Obviously, he's in this to make a living. He's not a non-for-profit organization. So as a result, he wants to make a few shekels here, or punyans. So this is what this is all about. So obviously, he's going to mark it up a little bit. So said Rav Chisda, that really there's a markup. You know what the markup is? The chenveni used to mark it up 50%. Which means that when you pay a pundyon, a third of it is the revach, this is the profit that the chenveni made. Two-thirds of it is just pro rata, the cost of the underlying wheat and the schayra, the goods that we use to bake this bread. But the point is that even though Rav Shimon said that what's the shir of mazlin shtei sudais, based on our calculation, it was 1/2, which means the mazlin of suda achas is 1/4, it's really 2/3 of 1/4. Because in that 1/4 cheshbon that we made, we were taking into account the profit that the chenveni made. The profit of the chenveni has nothing to do with our sugi, where we're determining the amount of food, the fact that he's earning a living, that's very nice for him, but it has nothing to do with us. We're trying to figure out how much wheat there is, how much dough there is, how many kabin is this kikar going to be made of, and we're using the raw material, the commodity that was used to try to determine it. So we have to just look away from the profit that he's made. So essentially we have to take the 1/4, focus on Suda Achas, multiply that by 2/3. What's 1/4 times 2/3? It's 1/6. Oh, so it's 1/6 is going to be Mazin Suda Achas, and 2/6 are going to be Mazin Shtei Zuzim. Where it says, oh, now the price makes more sense. Why? Because according to Reb Shimon, it's 1/9 Suda Achas, and according to Reb Yechim and Breik, it's 1/6. But Fekhti Gemara, no it doesn't. Fakati, Lamar Tishu, Lamar Shiz, still doesn't add up. According to him, it's 1/6, 1/9. That there's a big delta between those two numbers. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elik idach to Rav Chisda. You have to shtel to a different thing. Rav Chisda said, Rav Chisda said, say mehem nechzel lechenveni. Now he said that no, the chenveni, he wasn't working on 50% margins. His markup was much bigger than that. His markup was actually 100%. Oh, if it was 100%, and now what you have to do is you have to take the number, not multiply it by 2/3, but multiply it by 1/2, meaning literally, half of this number is his profit. Half of the punyan, it's really a half a punyan. It's not a punyan. It's a half a punyan because half of the punyan that you're paying is going into the chenveni's profit. That's how he makes money. But the point is, so now you take your 1/4, which is your mazlin suda achas, and you turn it into 1/8. So what are the two shiurim now? Rav Shimon shir is 1/9. Rabbi Yechman Breika shir is 1/8. Zochta Gemara, it's still not the same shir. Vakati lamar teish lamar tamni. Zochta Gemara, no one said it's the same shir. Hainu de kamra. No, this is what the Braisa meant when it said, ukrivim devreim liyashavim. We never said that it's the same shir. We said that krivim, that the two shiurim are similar. They are similar. You can't tell me they're not similar. 1/8 and 1/9 are similar. 1/8 is not similar to 1/9 is not similar to a quarter. 1/9 is not similar to a third. But 1/9 is similar to 1/8. And based on that, this works. Zok de Gemara, Kach Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda. So Agav, when we were discussing the profits, the margins that the chenveni works on, so we had two different numbers. Does the chenveni mark it up by 50%? Does he mark it up by 100%? Right? What's the going rate for a chenveni? So the Gemara says, like, I mean, both were Rav Chisda. It's not like two different owners and bakers had different models. This is the same Rav Chisda in the sugya. He said, oh, the chenveni marks it up as a. Then he said he marks it up as a. So which one is it? So Mar says, Kasha, hadaka yo balabayis, sibi hadaka yo balabayis, sibi. Sometimes, how times have changed, the balabayis, when he wanted to buy a loaf of bread, he would literally give the baker wood. And he said, Rabid, here you have some wood, do me a favor, make me a challah. And he would come back and he would pick it up. That's how he would do it. So if the chenveni himself is providing the wood, then obviously he's going to be working on a higher market. margin. If he's not providing the wood, so then he's going to be willing to work on a lower margin. Either way, those are the two shittas. So, the maskana, as it relates to translating Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika and Rabbi Shimon Shita respectively, into Kaven. So what emerges? According to Rabbi Shimon, Mazen Shtei Sudois is 2/9 of a Kav. According to Mazen Suda Achas is 1/9 of a Kav. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, Mazen Suda Achas is not 1/9 of a Kav, it's 1/8 of a Kav. Mazen Shtei Sudois is going to be 2/8 of a Kav. That is the maskana. Zogt the Gemara weiter. And before we go weiter, we need again a little bit of an introduction. And that is, it's mavur from the Mishnah that this machloikis, that there was another machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika and Rabbi Shimon. Again, the point of the Mishnah was discussing Mazin Shtei Sudas as it relates to Erevin. That's obviously the point of the Mishnah. But the Derech Agav, what emerged was something else. We went through it very quickly when we learned the Mishnah. We said we'd go through it in the Gemara. But you can almost miss it. But there's something else going on here in the Mishnah. And that is, what is the standard loaf of bread? What is the standard loaf of bread? Rabbi Shimon said that the shear of Mazin Shtei Sudas is 2/3 of a loaf when 3 loaves equal a kav, which means your standard loaf of bread equals 1/3 of a kav. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika said that the shear of Mazayin Shtei Sudais is 2/8 of a kav, but it was mavur that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika's kav is not 1/3, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika's loaf of bread is not 1/3 of a kav, but rather it's 1/4 of a kav. So in terms of the definition of the loaf of bread, they have different definitions as well. Again, that wasn't the main point of the mission. The main point was to get to Mazin Shtei Sudas and to do all the math to figure out what the Mazin Shtei Sudas are going to be respectively. But what came out with Derech Agav is a second machloikis, and that is, what is the definition? What is the definition of a loaf of bread? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's very clear. It's 1/3 of a kav. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, after the maskana of the Gemara, where the Gemara took care of the profits of the Chenveni, so what comes out is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika's loaf of bread is 1/4 of a kav. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's 1/3 of a kav. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, it's 1/4 of a kav. So now the Gemara is going to discuss let's just go weiter. And the Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said that really the definition of a loaf of bread, whether it's 1/3 of a kav or it's 1/4 of a kav, has implications in other sugyas as well. For example, Beis HaMenuga. Another example was Lifsoy Lesagvir. Right, Beis HaMenuga is if somebody walks into a house that has a nega, he becomes tummy right away. This clothing doesn't become tummy unless he was there an amount of time that it would take to eat a pras, to eat a half a loaf of bread. Okay, so what's a loaf of bread? It's a whole different machlag. You don't do it, Mazin Shtei Sudas. What is a loaf of bread? Is it 1/3 of a kav? That's Rabbi Shimon holds. Or is it 1/4 of a kav? That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika holds. And then half of that is the amount of food that's tummy someone would have to eat in order to have this new tumah chadasha that the Rabbanu were mechadish, that if somebody eats food that's tummy, he becomes tummy mid the Rabbanu. So again, it's a half of a loaf. What's the loaf? According to Rabbi Shimon, the loaf is 1/3 of a kav. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, it's going to be a 1/4 of a kav. Now the truth is, again, the Gemara is going to discuss these two shiurim, but the Gemara is going to discuss it not so much in terms of kavin, but more in terms of beitzen. So an egg, again, is a measurement that's used. So we have to convert the kav into beitzen in order to really segue into this next Gemara. So it's just a very, very basic formula. 1 kav equals 24 beitzen. Pretty straightforward. Which means that according to Reb Shimon, that a loaf of bread is 1/3 of a kav. So Reb Shimon holds a loaf of bread is 24 divided by 3, which means it's 8. According to Reb Shimon, it's going to be 8 beitzen. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, that a loaf of bread is 1/4 of a kav, so it's going to be 24 not divided by 3, 24 divided by 4, which means that it's going to equal 6 beitzen. So the size of a loaf of bread, according to Reb Shimon, it's 1/3 of a kav, also known as 8 beitzen. More comfortable for the next sugya. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, it's 1/4 of a kav, also known as 6 beitzim. Zok tigmar, chetzi lebeis hamenuga, v'chetzi chetzio, lifso lesanagia. Tano, we learned in the braisa that there was another shir, v'chetzi chetzio, a half of a half of a pras, is going to be letami tumas oichlin. Food can become tame. How? That's pasha. big does food have to be in order for it to be tamei? Not only can food become tamei, a food can be a rishon l'tumah, can be a sheni l'tumah, can be a shlishi l'tumah, it can even be a revi'i l'tumah when it's kacha. Food is subject to hilchas tumah, of course. What's known as tumas oichlin. Many sugyas and shas deal with tumas oichlin. What's the share? How much food do you have in order to be subject to the laws of tumas oichlin? So it's not a loaf of bread. It's not a half a loaf of bread. It's not a half of a half of a loaf of bread. But rather, it's a half of a half of a half a loaf of bread. It's a half of a quarter of a loaf of a bread, which means it's 1/8 of a loaf of bread, right? It's 1/8 of a loaf of bread. Tosfos speaks out right away, a very geshmak gezach. And that is, we know throughout Shas, what's the shear of tumas oichlin? Kibeya, right? Tumas of eating, of the shear of achila is always a kezayis. The shear of Tumas Oichlin is always a kebeya, right? That's one of the places you find the shear beya in Shas. And that is Tumas Oichlin is always kebeya. Says Tosfos, based on what we just saw, that's going to come out according to Reb Shimon. This is a good idea. It's really, not everybody agrees with that. It's Reb Shimon. Why Reb Shimon? Because Reb Shimon holds that a loaf of bread is a third of a kav, which means it's 8 beitzim. So a loaf is 8, half of that is 4, half of that is 2, half of that, which is this top line, the chatzi chatzi chatzi, half of a half of a half. But Tami Tumas Oichlin is 1 beya. Whose sheet is that? That's Reb Shimon. But according to Reb Yochanan ben Breika, it doesn't work. Because according to Reb Yochanan ben Breika, you're not starting with 8, you're starting with 6. So half of 6 is 3. Half of 3 is 1.5, and half of that is not going to be 1. Half of 1.5 is 2/3. So that means the shear for Tumas Oichlin is going to be 2/3. So Tosfos says, the top Tosfos in the Amid, that this that we find, the Hod Amar Bechol Duchto, beautiful. That's true according to Reb Shimon. It's not true according to Reb Yechim and Breika. Because according to Reb Yechim and Breika, it's going to be a different number. But either way, the Breisa elaborate a little bit on the Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah said, oh, we mentioned the loaf of bread. I'll tell you a loch about a half a loaf of bread. And then I'll tell you a loch about a quarter of a loaf of bread. And the Breisa said, I'll even tell you a loch about an eighth of a loaf of bread. So the Gemara's Batana did not my time to Tumas Leichlin. How come our Tana didn't get involved in Tumas Leichlin? How come it didn't tell us the loch about the eighth of a loaf of bread? So the Gemara said, "Mishublei shavishu rai la dadi." The reason is because the shiurim are not perfect. It's not a perfect half. Meaning, if it was true that it was a perfect half, it went from 1/4 to 1/8, then the Tana of the Mishnah would have said it. But the Tana of the Mishnah held that it's almost perfect, but it's actually not perfect. How so? Tanya b'nun to the brayza, kama shiur chatzi pras. What's the shiur of chatzi pras? Which is the shiur for what? The shiur for someone that it eats food that's tamei when he would become tamei. And again, the chatzi pras is a quarter of a loaf of a bread. The pras is a half a loaf. That's the shear for beis hamenuga. The chatzi pras is the quarter of a loaf. So how much is a chatzi pras? Shnei beitzim. It's 2 eggs. Chasekima minus a little bit. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi says, shnei beitzim soichakos. No, it's not 2 eggs minus a little bit. To the contrary, it's 2 eggs. But not only is it 2 eggs, it's 2 big eggs. Shia Rabbi, when he assessed the chatzi pras, he came up with it a little bit differently. He assessed it as shnei beitzim va'oid. 2 beitzim with a little bit more. Kama va'oid. What does va'oid mean? Echad mi'esrim bebeya. So he had 2 eggs plus another 1/20th of an egg. So it was 2 plus 1/20th, or it's 2 plus 5%. That's essentially what he had. Okay, so that's the shear of chatzni pras. Now, the ilu gabi Tumas Oichlin, as it relates to Tumas Oichlin, what's the shear? Tanya we're doing to the braiso. Rab Nosim v'Rab Doisa Amru ke beitza sha Amru kamay v'kli pasa. The shear of Tumas Oichlin is a beitza. And what does it mean? It means an egg together with a shell. V'chachomer v'chomer say ke beitza b'loi kli pasa. But the point is, it's not a perfect half. Because as it relates to the shear of chatzni pras, it's maybe 2 with a little more, 2 minus a little bit, maybe it's 2 big ones. As it relates to Tumas Oichlin, all it is a beitza. It's a shaila with the klipa, without the klipa, but all is a beitza. So it doesn't work perfectly. Right? The Mishnah is only doing things that work very, very neat. The Mishnah is saying you have a loaf of bread, then there's a half a loaf of bread, then there's a quarter of a loaf of bread. Eighth of a loaf? No, it's not true. Because the relation between the quarter and the eighth is not a perfect half relationship, and as a result, that's why it wasn't mentioned. Now, just one thing: this brayso that we just saw, kamashir chatzi pras, 2 beitzim. So, 2 and a little more, 2 and a little less, but the number roughly is 2 beitzim. Who's that going according to? That's obviously Reb Shimon. Again, a chatzi pras is a quarter of a whole. A whole loaf is a kikar. A pras is the chatzi, and then the half of the half is going to be the quarter. So, we're saying that a quarter of a loaf of a bread is 2 beitzim, which is Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon said a loaf of a bread is 1/3 of a kav, which means it's 8 beitzim. That means a pras is 4 beitzim, which means a chatzi pras is 2 beitzim. But according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, the math doesn't work. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, a loaf of bread is a quarter of a kav, which means it's 6 beitzim, which means a half a loaf, also known as a pras, is going to be 3 beitzim, which means a quarter of a pras is going to be 1.5 beitzim. So obviously, the aforementioned braisa that discusses the shear of a chatzi pras as 2 beitzim, give or take, is obviously going according to Rav Shimon. Okay, Gemara, I'm Rav from Bar Papa, I'm Rav Chizas, who divrei Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. This is all the words of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Ava chachamim oimer, and the chachamim say, ki beitzo mechza soicha kois. There has to be 1.5 beitzim, not just any beitzim, but it has to be beitzo umechza of a big beitzo. Uman chachamim, Zakhma, who's the chachamim? Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. Oh, because according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, that's the number. The number is going to be 1.5. It's 2 according to the chachamim, but it's going to be 1.5 according to Rabbi Yochanan. Pshit, this is so obvious. We didn't even need Raf from Bar Papa in the name of Rav Chizda to say this. We could have figured this out on our own. The Gemara says, you're right. His chiddush was simply and merely the point of Soich HaKos. That's what he was coming to bring to the table. That according to Rabbi Yochanan Breika, it's a chatzi pras is 1.5 beitzim, but what kind of 1.5 beitzim? It's 1.5 beitzim Soich HaKos. Zok the Gemara. Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, and he came back to Bavel, and he brought a lot of halachas with him. One of the halachas were negei this sugya. He said over the following story, Shiger Bunyas, so Bunyas was a gentleman, so Bunyas sent Lerebi Mudyo de Kundis. He sent him a measurement that measured a kundis, also known as a sa'ah. Demin Ne'usa, it came from the place called Ne'usa. V'shia Rebbe measured this sa'ah, and it measured Masan Ushva Esrei Be'en. It measured 217 eggs. That's what came out. So he sent them a measurement. This is what people were using in this place, Ne'usa. And he measured it, and the sa equaled 217 eggs. And the Gemara is going to do a little bit of math now, or a lot of bit of math. And the Gemara is going to try to figure out how in the world we come up with the number 217. But we just need one other introduction, and that is, so what's the standard relationship between the egg and the sa? So we mentioned there's 6 beitzim to the 6, 24 beitzim to the kav, right? There's 24 beitzim to the kav. There's 4 kav, there's 6 kav in a sa. 6 kav in a sa. So if there's 6 kav in a sa, and there's 24 beitzim in the kav, so how many beitzim are there in a sa? So it's 24 times 6. That's the number, which is 144. So really, the starting point for this discussion is, if you have a little cheat sheet, it's helpful, but the starting point for this discussion is that there's 144 beitzim into the sah. Now, Rebbe went, and he measured it, and he had a very different number. He had a grossly inflated number. His number was 217. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out a little bit how he came up with the number of 217. One other piece of background, and that is that all these numbers that we have right now weren't always this way. These numbers that we're talking about, whether it's the fact that there's six kav to the saw, or there's 24 beitzim to the kav, etc., etc., 48 punyans to the selah, this is the way it once was. This is the way it was when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. This is the way it was when the Yidden were living in the Midbar. But over time, the numbers changed a little bit. The Gemara talks about this in a few places. But over time, the numbers changed. And it was done consciously. Me and Chazal got together and they decided that we're taking the coins and all the measurements that we have and we're going to change them a little bit. Now, they didn't want to mess with the underlying foundation of it. So, because people were accustomed to knowing that the 6 of this go into that and 24 of this go into this and 48 of this go into that. So they had to be a little sensitive to the way they played with it. But basically what Chazal did was, so they changed some measurements, they didn't change all the measurements. So some they did and some they did. So some of the principles that were always used remained constant, but some of the principles that they used actually changed. Now, one of the things, what was the formula that they used to change the different measurements? So the formula was they increased everything by a shtos. They increased everything by a 6. But it's not what we would call a 6, it's what Chazal referred to as a 6. Chazal always used numbers milagav. Milabar, which means that they increased the number, right? They increased the number. Then they took the difference and then they said, whatever that difference is relative to the gross number, that's the way they... So it's what we would call they increased it by 20%. So if you take 100, you increase it by 20%, you have 120. What's the difference? 20 klapi, 120 is 1/6. So Chazal viewed it as a shtos. But really, as it relates to the way we would look at it, is you would increase the number by 20%. Chazal did this twice. They did this once, and then they did it a second time. The first time they did it, it was known as, these new midas were known as the midas Yerushalmiyos, the Yerushalmi midas, where in Yerushalayim they went and they increased the midas. Then they did it a second time in Tzipori, and it was known as the midas Tzipori's. Either way, with that background, that the relation between the Sa and the Beitzin, and the fact that these numbers were increased by a shtus, also known as 20%, so we have another cheshbon. So again, Rav Dimi comes from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he says there was a fellow named Bunyas. He sent Rebbe a measurement that measured a Sa. Rebbe sat down, he measured it, and he came up with 217x. The Gemara says, "Hasa the hecha? What kind of Sa was this? Edom Midbaris? Was this the old Sa?" The one that they used in the Midbar, Me'ar Bav Arba, but that should have measured 144. So if it measures 144, how are you coming up with this number? Vidi Yerushalmis, maybe this was the Sa Yerushalmis that had been raised. So maybe they raised the Sa. They raised the Sa, they didn't change the Bay as a Bay, that's a Metzias. So how many Beits am I now going to go into the Sa? So it's going to be a Shtus more, or 1.2 times more, meaning 20% more. But 20, if you take 144, and you increase it by 20%, Meya Shivin Vishali Shava. The number would be 173. It's still not 217. Vid Tzipiris, maybe it was the Tzipiris, where they added another 20%. So it started 144, they added 20%, now you have 173. They added another 20%, it's still Masai Vishava Havin, it'd still be 207. You're still off by 10. You still don't have that number. So where did Rebbe come up with this number? So the Gemara says, "Oyom the tzipiris." Maybe what he had given him was the tzipiris. I see chalsa shadi alai. It could be the sa'ah that had been used popularly was a sa'ah that had already taken into account that you would take the challah out. Because the assumption is, when you're measuring your dough, you know you have to be mafresh challah. So the challah wasn't included in it. Maybe this measurement had the challah in it. So zok to Gemara. Okay, let's see if the math works. Chalsa kamahavion. If you're going to take challah on the satsi pari, the satsi pari equals 207 bay. What is challah? So challah is 1/24th, unless you're a nachton. But a balabais has to give 1/24th. What's 1/24th of 207 tamni? It's 8. Akati batzale. Because if you add 8 to 207, we're getting closer. You're at 215, but it's still not your number. It's still 217. So the Gemara says, "Eli, you know you're right. You know what this means? Ve'oidus aisi, ve'oidus derebi." Very gishmak. Really, we were using the satsi pyri. And the satsi pyri was 207. But we saw earlier that Rebbe held that the satsi pyri, that every single saw, or every time you cheshbin the beit saw, in terms of these measurements, you always have to add a little bit. How much you have to add? You have to add 5%. So if you take 207 and you add 5%, so what are you going to have? You're going to add another 11 or so. Oh, if that's the case, you're going to get very close to your number, 217. But the Gemara says, "Yochi avalei tfei," it's a little more than 217. Gemara says, "You're right, but kibitlei havi kebeya," being that it's not a full egg more than the 270. So the remainder you don't have to worry about for the sugya. And as a result, that's why it ends up being the number. So what was the cheshbon of 217? It was the satsi pyri, but accounting for Rebbe, who felt that you have to tack on an extra 5%. So you have to tack on an extra 5%, you do the math, you get close enough, there's a remainder, we don't have to worry about the remainder. Zok to Gemara. Tanu Rabbana, Sa Yerushalmis, Yiseiral Midbarishtos. The Sa Yerushalmis was 1/3 greater, was 1/6 bigger than the Sa Midbaris. Vishal Tzipiris, Yiseiral Yerushalmishtos. And the Sa Tzipiris was 1/6 bigger than the Sa Yerushalmis. That's what we mentioned earlier. It's what Chazal referred to as a shtos, what we would refer to as really a chaymish, as 20%. It's a shtos milavar. Nim says, but then the Gemara does a little bit of math. It says, comes out, Shal Tzipiris. If you take the Sa Tzipiris, it's going to emerge that it's going to be a Seira al Midbarishlish. It's going to be 1/3 bigger than the Summit Baris. So again, the Summit Baris is 144 eggs. The Sa Yerushalmi is 173 eggs. The Satsi Pyrus is 207 eggs. What the Gemara says is that it comes out that the Satsi Pyrus is 1/3 more than the Summit Baris. So the Gemara now is going to struggle just with the basic math to try to make this work. So the Gemara says, Shlish Daman, when you say that the Satsi Pyrus is greater than the Sa Midbaris, 1/3. So a third of what, says the Gemara? E le b'shlish the Midbaris. Do you mean a shlish of the Midbaris? Gemara says, do the math. Mech, shlish the Midbaris, kama havya. What's a third of the shlish Midbaris? What was the Sa Midbaris? 144x. What's a third of 144? Abam v'tamni. It's going to be 48. Now, what's the difference between the Satsi Pyrus and the Sa Midbaris? V'ilu oitfa, if you
take 207, which is the Satsi Pyrus, and you subtract 144, which is the Summit Baris, the number's going to be Shittim Vitalas. It's going to be 63. It's not the same number. One-third of 144 does not equal the difference of 207 and 144. They're off by a very wide number. One is 48, the other one is 63. So obviously that's not the number. Maybe what we mean is a third of the Yerushalmis. Meaning, we're saying that the Satsi Pyrus was Yesera on the Summit Baris, a shlish, not a shlish of the Summit Baris, but rather a shlish of the Sar Yerushalmis. The Gemara says, okay, let's do the math. Shlish di dakana hava. What's one-third of the Sar Yerushalmis? Sar Yerushalmis was 173 beitzim. What's one-third of 173? Chamshin etamni nechi tulsa. It's 58 minus a third, or 57 and two-thirds. Vilu oitfa. What's the difference, we said, between the Sar Yerushalmis and the Summit Baris? It's the same number. She's in Vitlas. So here the number is 57 and two-thirds. Here the number is 63. It's not the same number. Where it says, Vela the Tzipayri. Okay, maybe it means the Tzipayri. Again, the saw of the Tzipayri is Yesera on the saw Midbaris, one-third of the saw Tzipayris. Right? We're trying everything. We tried a shlish of the Midbaris. It didn't work. Then we tried the shlish of the Yishalmis, and that didn't work. Maybe the shlish of the Tzipayri is going to work. So the Gemara, again, does all the math for us. Shlish did al-Kamahave. What's a third of the saw Tzipayris? The saw Tzipayris was 207x. So what's a third of 207? Shivim Nechichada. It's 69. The Iluait phone, what's the difference, again, between the saw Tzipayris and the saw Midbaris? She's in the class, 63. So again, the numbers don't add up. So we have a little bit of a riddle here. I mean, the Bryce was just trying to make a point that when they raised the rates, when they raised the measurements, they raised it by a sixth or by 20%. So it's a shtus milga. That's basically what the Bryce was trying to say. Then the Bryce said, I'll put it all together for you. Nimtzes, if you do the math, the Sheltsi Pyrus is the Seir on the Midbaris Shlish. And that the Gemara just threw us for a curveball because it doesn't add up with any of the math that we just did. It's not Yisera on the Midbaris, it's not the Shlish of the Midbaris, not a Shlish of the Yerushalmis, and not a Shlish of the Tzipayris. So what exactly is the Shlish that somehow is going to equal the number that is the difference between the Satsi Pyrus and the Summit Baris? Difference between the Satsi Pyrus and Summit Baris is 63x. A Shlish of 144 is not 63, a Shlish of 173 is not 63, and a Shlish of 207 is not 63. So what exactly does the Gemara mean? The Gemara says, Elam Rabbi Yirmiya, maybe what it means is as follows. Hachi Kamar, maybe it means as follows. Nimtza Soshal Tzipayri Yisera Amid Baris Karav L'Shlishala. Maybe what it means is that the Sa Tzipayri was more than the Sa Midbaris, not a perfect third, but close to a third. That could be, meaning it's going to be close to a third. What was the difference between what was a third of the Satsi Pairi? It was 69. What was the difference between the Satsi Pairi and the Sa Midbaris? It was 63. Okay, it's not the same number, but if you add in the word Karaif, so then you can, then the Kenza Chanaitza Gaben. Ushlishala, and one third of the Satsi Pairi is also Karav Lemechza the Midbaris. Because a shlish of the Satsi Pairi, we just said it's 69. What's half of the Summit Baris? Summit Baris is 144. Half of 144 is 72. So it's 72 and 69. Those numbers are also close. So maybe that's what the Bryce meant. The Bryce didn't mean Nimtzes Shal Tzipayris Yisera Al Midbaris Shlish. Do the math, it's going to reconcile perfectly. It means it's close enough. That's the cheshbon. But the Gemara says, Maskel HaRavina. So Ravina asks Rabbi Yirmiya, Midi Karav, Karav Tani. I mean, it's very nice. You can't just add the words Karav, Karav, and say Karav. So how can you just add the words Karav? Elam Rabina. So Rabina said, Hachi Kamar. And what it means is as follows. Nimtza Shlish Al Tzipayri. You know what the cheshbon is? The cheshbon is very geshmak. The cheshbon is not too hot, the Shlish Tzipayri of in the conventional sense. What was the Satsi Pairi? How many eggs did it equal? We said 207. But Rebbe, we know, added on some more. How many more did Rebbe add on? Another 10. That saw that Rebbe had, that Bunya sent him, that came from this place called Nusa, when he measured it, it was Mason Ushvaas Rebbein. It was actually 217. If you take 217 and you divide that by 3, the number you're going to get is 72. 0.33. If you take the Summit Baris, which is 144 eggs, and you divide that by 2, the number you're going to get is 72. 72.33
is exactly 1/3 of an eb bigger than 72. That's what the Braisa meant. Nim so shel tzipayri, the so shel tzipayri, but not the regular so shel tzipayri, which is 144 times 1.2 times 1.2, which is 207. It's Rebbe's so shel tzipayri, where you tack on top of that another 5%. So it's not 207 eggs, it's 217 eggs. It was Yisera on Midbaris, not a regular so Midbaris, which is 144, but half of the 44 shlish. So if you take a third of the Satsi Pyrus and you take a half of the Summit Baris, the difference is going to be 1/3 of an egg, and that's what the Braisa meant to Firois. That's the Nimsa Shalti Pyrus Yisera Amid Baris. So Ravina didn't like the word Karev, but instead Ravina had to come up with a whole Shlichot Torah to make Pshat in the Braisa. Rabbi Yirmiyah said the number's close, so you can make it work. As long as you're willing to be within striking distance, you can figure out the sugya. Rabbi said, no, it doesn't say karev. So he says, the number has to come down, it has to reconcile literally to the percentage point. Okay, Ravina made it work to the percentage point, but he said a whole shlichot Torah, because what the Braisa said is that the Satsi Pyrus was 1/3 bigger than the Summit Bars. Comes out, we don't mean the Satsi Pyrus, we mean 1/3 of the Satsi Pyrus. And we don't even mean 1/3 of the regular Satsi Pyrus. We mean 1/3 of Rebbe Satsi Pyrus, which has 5% more. And we're not comparing it to the Summit Bars, we're comparing it to half of the Summit Bars. And what we're saying is that it's 1/3 of an egg, not 1/3 in terms of 1/3 of the gross number. It's 1/3 of an egg more. Either way, Zokta Gemara Vaita Tana Rabbanu, we learned to the Braisa. Reishis Arisoi Seichem. It says in the Torah, Reishis Arisoi Seichem. Of course, this is the mitzvah of challah. And we learn from here, kidei isoy seichem, that how much dough do you have in order for there to be a chiyav afrashas challah? It has to be kidei isoy seichem, the amount of dough that a person usually uses when he's preparing for the kama isoy seichem. How much is that? Kidei isoy samidbar, the amount of dough that was used in the midbar. The kama isoy samidbar, how much dough was used in the midbar? The chsiv, that's already a pasik. The ha'oimer asiris ha'efahu. The man measured an oimer. And an oimer equals asiris ha'efa, a tenth of an efa. So it comes out the number of isa, or the amount of isa that you would need in order to be chayiv and chala, would be a tenth of an efa. Now, an efa is an antiquated measurement. So Chazal had to now convert that measurement into a more modern, so to speak, measurement. So Chazal said, mikan amru, here's the number. Shiva riva im kemach, 7/4 of a kav of kemach, v'oid, bitnach abisol chayiv es b'chala, Shehen shisha shal Yerushalmas, which is the equivalent to 6/4 of a kav of the Yerushalmas. Shehen chamisha shal tzipayri, which is also the equivalent of 5 of tzipayri. And we'll leave it at that. Ayin Rashi. Oichel, mikan amar Chazal said, oichel gmidosu. If somebody eats that amount, hareza bari. That's a good amount of food to eat. Why? Because you see, that was what the man measured. That's what everyone ate every day. They ate the man. So you see, eating that, that's a good way to know. Well, no, what's the right moderation of food that a person should eat? So the man, follow that model. And if he does that, he's going to be gebench. Yes, Rav Ken, if somebody eats more than that, Ravson, he's a freser. Pachis Mikan, if somebody eats less than that, Makulka B'meyev, it's not so good for him. Zok, the Mishnah Vaita. We now return to our regular program, which is Erevin. Anshei Chotzer, Anshei Marpeset. If you have people that were living in a Chotzer, and then there were people that, they used to spatzir on the Parpeset. So, the picture is where you have a house that's inside a chatzar, but this is a two-story house. But what's unique about the two-story house is the people that lived on the second floor, they had like an open porch, a gallery, and they used to use that area as a chatzar. So what the Mishnah is saying is that the chatzar and that marpeset are viewed as two individual reshuyos. And as a result, they would have to make an area between themselves in order to carry from one to the other. So what happens if shok v'layirvu, they forgot, and they didn't make an area? So the question is, what parts of the chatzar do we attribute as being part of the chatzar? And what parts, if any, of the chatzar do we attribute not to being part of the chatzar, but rather to being part of the marpeset? Meaning the people in the chatzar can carry in the chatzar. The people in the marpeset can carry in the marpeset. The question is, how do you determine what's part of the chatzar? What's part of the marpeset? Says the Mishnah, very straightforward. Kol shegavoya yutvachim, any that's 10 tvachim tall, the marpeset. Pachs, any that's shorter than that, the chatzar. Chuyu sabar, if you have the banks of the bar next to the pit, you have all the sand, the hasela, or you have a rock, gvaya sar tvachim, if it's 10 tvachim, tol amar pechas. Pachim, if it's less than 10 tvachim, chatzar belongs to the chas. Medvar mamurim besmucha. The only time we say that these elevated areas are considered part of the marpeset is if they're close to the marpeset. Avam mufleges, if they're far away, afil gvaya yutvachim, even if it's 10 tvachim, tol, the chatzar belongs to the chas. Ezu smucha, what's the definition of smucha? Kol shein rechay garba tvachim. It's not 4 tvachim away, it's considered smucha. We will stop here.